Thank you for joining us at the City Light International Assembly. We're a church committed to raising lights and maximizing lives. This is a special ministration by Pastor Lan and Jiwala. It is our prayer that you be richly blessed. And now the word.
So I want to teach today on what I titled Together Faith. Everybody say Together Faith. Together Faith. Together Faith. Together Faith. As you all know, one of the most potent forces the Bible talks about is the power of faith. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 that now abides faith, hope, and love. He said, of these three, the greatest of these is love. So, faith is one of those forces, potent forces that God has given us as believers. And we don't often hear more, you know, a lot about faith. Maybe because, you know, we don't understand it, or because some people have taught it to some kind of extreme and all that. But faith is powerful. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 verse 6 that without faith, it is what? It is impossible to please Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For those who come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4 says, whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. What is that victory? Our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And then in Ephesians chapter 6, when Paul was talking about the weapons of the warfare of the believer. And as you know, as a believer, we're involved in war. Isn't that true? Many of the things we see happening right now, they are spiritual in nature. They are rooted in spiritual things. And we as the church, we're the one that's supposed to stand for our cities, stand for our communities, stand for our families. And that requires faith. So in Ephesians 6, Paul said, now taking the shield of faith, the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So he's constantly firing stuff to our minds, throwing things against us. But the Bible tells us that the power of faith, when we engage the power of faith in God, we are able to quench or stop those darts from having effect in our lives. Jesus definitely honored faith, because if you read through the Gospels, you will see that many times, one of the things that caught his attention was the faith of people. In fact, one of the things that he commented on the most was not the piety of people, was not the external show of their righteousness, wasn't their wealth, it wasn't their physical circumstances. One of the things that Jesus commented on the most was the faith of people. You will see statements like, oh, you have little faith. Where is your faith? And then you see some more positive, excited one. Wow, I've not seen such faith, not even in Israel. Woman, great is your faith. Wow, what great faith is this? So you go through the gospel and you will see that it commented a lot about people's faith, both in the negative and the positive. Disappointed. In fact, there was a time he said, I'm just wondering that if the Son of Man delays his coming, will he even find faith on earth? Will he find faith on earth? So, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. So, if he focused on faith when he was here in the flesh, right now, he still looks at faith. Amen. If you believe that, say amen with me. He still looks at faith. He still commends faith. He still responds to faith. Faith is the response of a human being to a word spoken by God. The response of what? Of a human being to a word spoken by God. The positive response of a person to a word that God spoke. Hebrews 11, we read about the heroes of faith. These people were not, in their days, they were not necessarily heroes. They were just ordinary individuals like us who heard the word of God and then they responded with action. Abraham heard God say, leave your father's house and go to a land that I will show you. And the Bible says he departed. That was faith. Moses, Enoch, and all those people mentioned in the book of Hebrews 11, they were people who acted in response to what? A word spoken by God. They are still people now. Amen. There are still people now who act in response to words spoken by God. And God wants us to be one of those people. People might not see us as heroes, may not see you as heroes now, but God sees you as the heroes of this generation. Do you believe that? God is looking all over Chicago. He's looking all over the United States. He's looking all around for those who would dare to believe him. You get that? Those who would dare to believe him for impossible things. And those are the heroes in his sight. There's so much that our world needs that our God has. There's so much that our world needs that our God has. But God is looking for people who will be bold enough to receive those things for our world. Things that never existed before. Great things. Things that bring about his love, his peace, his justice, his grace. And that can be shared with everybody. If you are one of those people, you're making your mind to be one of those people, and you wave your hand and say amen. Okay. So, I want to talk today about one of those instances where Jesus, responded to the faith of some people. And there's some peculiar things about this because it was not one person. There were instances where he responded to the faith of one person, but in this case, it was to the faith of a group of people. In the book of Luke chapter 5, starting from verse 17, Luke chapter 5, starting from verse 17. He said, now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching. I pray that today will be a certain day for you. Right now, that something is going to happen. That there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by. Now, listen. Whenever Jesus was teaching and Pharisees and what? Teachers of the law are present. They did not come there to listen to Jesus to receive anything. They came there as what? Experts to criticize what he was saying. Okay? That's why they came. So, can you imagine a room full of experts and you are teaching, but everything they were doing is just analyzing, okay, does that correspond with Deuteronomy? Does that correspond with the law of this and that? And I say, no, I don't, So sometimes Jesus will be teaching, and say, why are you reasoning like that in your heart? My prayer today that there is no Pharisee in this place today. There's no teacher of the law in this place today. You should never listen to analyze what the teacher is saying. No, that's not the way to listen. Never listen to criticize. Listen to receive. Amen? Are you listening? And the Bible says, the power of God was present to heal them. But notice what the Bible did not say. The Bible did not say any of them was healed. Did you get that? The power was present, but nobody was healed. Because the presence of the power of God does not mean the activation of his power. Are you listening? The presence of power in this place does not mean that we're going to have light. In fact, I would like the big lights turned on, if you don't mind. Does not mean that we're going to have light. Did you get that? Does not mean we're going to have light. You have to turn on the switch, right? Before the light can come on. So the presence of power does not mean that there's any manifestation. A switch must be turned. The switch to God's power is faith. Did you get that? The switch to God's power is faith. Okay, so room full of Pharisees and teachers of the law, Jesus teaching, power present, and then they filled the room. Verse 18. But the Bible began to note some people. He said, then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed. They sought to bring him in and lay before him. Sought. You know what sought means? They desire to. They came to the door. See, look at, I'm going to give him a name. Zephaniah. Okay, so look at Zephaniah. He's paralyzed. We've carried him from home. We want to enter. But the Pharisees are these teachers of the law at the door. They could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd. I don't know about you. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you are trying to do something. You are trying to accomplish something inspired by faith. But the circumstances or what is already present is stopping you from getting. It's like, you just want to make that move and there, but it's just like something is just stopping it. Have you been there before? That's how these guys felt. But these guys were persistent. Everybody say persistent faith. So we need to learn persistence, because if you don't understand the way faith works, you'll think that believing God means that, and that, you know, you just believe and then it happens. No, faith will test you. Or let's say it this way, your faith will be tested. Are you getting it? So, but I love these guys. Everybody say they. They went on the house top and they let him down with his bed through the thing, the tiling, into the mist before Jesus. So they didn't give up. If we are not going to be able to go through the door, we will go through the roof. So we need to determine that. The door is not going to open. I will break down the roof. Are you listening? You need to say that. Amen? To yourself. If the door will not open, we will break down the roof. But this is what caught my attention here, and that's where today's message is from. When he saw their faith. When he saw their faith. When he saw their faith. He saw their faith. He saw their faith. He saw their faith. So write, you know, number one, number one in your outline, the power of together faith is what? Power of together faith. Individual faith combined together. Individual faith, that's right, combined together is possible. It's possible. Perceivable. He saw it. It's possible, it's perceivable, and what? And powerful. It's perceivable. He saw. So meaning, you can see, Peter, you can see the faith of a family. Jesus can see the faith operating in the family. He can see the faith operating in a church. He can see the faith operating in a business. He can see the faith operating in a community. He can see the faith operating in a collective. It's possible to have collective faith. And collective faith is powerful. Everybody say, it is powerful. It is powerful. Are you following? He saw their faith. So, but then the next question is this. What did he see exactly? Because that will help us to understand the nature of faith. What did he see? Did he see their insight? Did he see any feeling? What did he see? He saw their actions. He saw what? Their actions. That's what he saw. He saw them. First of all, he was preaching, talking to the Pharisees and all that, and he was teaching, and then, what's going on? Opened, the roof was open. And then the next thing you see some people straining. And then, you know, somebody peeped through the hole. The other person said, you hold it by the top. You hold it. Go any further. And then they let him down in front. Jesus was watching all that. But I can tell you that Jesus saw beyond that. He saw beyond what was taking place at that particular time. He went back. Understand that there were no cars in those days, right? There's no truck. There was no U-Haul. Are you listening? So, these guys, the beginning of their faith was, Zephaniah was there, paralyzed. And then, Raphael called Judah. And call, they were friends, say, we've been hearing about this Jesus, like, why don't we just take this guy there? And then Zechariah said, the pharaoh said, please, I've tried everything, just take me. That's all. So they took him from his bed, put him on the stretcher, then they had to carry the stretcher from the house to the place where Jesus was. I can just imagine on the way, one of them, Judah, was tired. Like, my hand is paining me. It's okay, don't stop. We got to get into Jesus. And then, panting and panting, they got to the door. They couldn't enter. And they said, you know, well, let's go up the roof. So you saw they were sweating. They were doing all that. So Jesus saw their sweat. He saw their actions. He saw beyond what was taking place there. And he saw that. That's what the Bible says when it says he saw their faith. He saw their persistent actions together. Saw their persistent action together. Since faith is an action motivated by God's word, Hebrews 11, therefore, together faith is actions or movements together by a group in response to God's word. Together faith is action or movement together by a group in response to God's word, towards a goal. So together faith is, individual faith is an individual moving in response to God's word. But together faith is when a group begins to move together because they receive the word. Amen? And they have a goal. That's what together faith is. See, together fear. Together fear. Because I need to talk about faith in the opposite direction, in the reverse direction. Together fear, the opposite of together faith, also multiplies negative power. Together fear, also what? Satan preys on together fear. When we start getting afraid of one another, start getting afraid together, start getting afraid, Satan comes in. He responds to that. So it generates negative fear. And the good example that I would like to share with you is Numbers 13. I can't read the whole thing. Numbers 13 and 14. You remember? In Numbers 13 and 14, Moses sent out spies, right? To spy out the land. And they went. 12 spies. So they went, they checked out the land, and they came back, and they brought reports back to the community. And they said, it's true, the land is flowing with milk and honey. It's a great land. It's beautiful. But you know what? When we were there, we saw some giants there. And those giants are, in our eyes, we were like grasshoppers before them. As they were saying it, the whole congregation, I can just see, you know, some of the men and the women and the children, giant, giant, grasshoppers, you know, fear came on the whole congregation. Everybody became afraid, apart from two, plus Moses. But Caleb and Joshua said, no, let's go at once now, because we are well able to overcome them. So later, the entire congregation, because of their fear, refused to move. And listen, everybody there that demonstrated fear because of what they heard, that was hold, they did not make it to the promised land. The Bible tells us the reason why they did not make it. In Hebrews chapter 4 verse 2, it says that, indeed, we have the good news preached to us, just as they also. The day he was talking about were those guys. They also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. So God swore and said, these people are not going to enter into this rest. Because rather than believing, they moved in fear. They responded to fear rather than believe God. There's a rest that still remains. And the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that we must labor to enter into that rest. But that labor is not a physical labor. It's a labor of faith. It's believing. Hallelujah. Believing the promises of God. Together. A whole nation missed the plan of God because they refused to be convinced to believe God. A whole generation missed the plan of God because they could not be persuaded to believe God. My prayer is that our generation will not miss him. Your family will not miss it. Our church will not miss it. Our city will not miss it. The church in this city will not miss it. It's time to rise up together in faith and to believe God for some things. To trust God's word. It's time to stop believing the lies. To stop accepting the bad news that Satan is spreading. It's time we started rising up and believing the word of God in spite of the negativities that we see all around. Believing in God's protection in spite of the violence. Believing in God's protection in spite of the terrorism. Believing in unity and love in spite of the division. Believing in a future in spite of the bleak present. It's time to believe God that great things are still to be done in this city. Nothing is impossible, D, for together faith. Nothing is impossible for together faith. But division, another word for a confused mixture of visions is what neutralizes the power of faith. Division means division, like dilute. Diluted what? Vision. So, Satan sows division so that it can neutralize the power of together faith. Satan whispers things about the other race, about the other person, about the other class, about the other nation, about the other family, the other individual, the other members of the church, the other church. He whispers things in our ears so that he can generate diluted visions, which is what division is. But his ultimate goal is to neutralize the power of faith. Can you imagine if Zephaniah, what's the other guy's name? Judah and Raphael, they were fighting. Zephaniah will have died. Even if Zephaniah wanted to go to Jesus, there's nobody to carry him. Right? And if they fought on the way, and Judah decides to go, and what's the other one? Raphael said, I'm going. I'm not even going anymore. You're not even carrying it very well. Look at the way you're carrying it. I'm the only one carrying it. And they decide to go. Zephaniah will have died. You know, I always ask this question. In your work of relationship, do you have at least 3 people or 4 friends that will come and carry you, God forbid, if you were paralyzed, physically or spiritually? Or you have broken the bridges with everybody? You've broken bridges with everyone. So when you are there, there's nobody to carry you. In fact, there's no people can carry you, but for people that will break down the roof for you. Everybody should have people like that. I will break down the roof for you. And if you have such people in your life, appreciate them. So that's why we got to build relationships. We don't cut ourselves off from the body. Nothing is impossible for together faith. He said, but the Lord came down to look at the city and the tower that people were building. Look, he said, the people are united and they all speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. So come, let us go to the down and confuse the people with different languages, so that they won't be able to understand each other. So God borrowed the method. What did he do? He confused their language, so they couldn't see the same thing. Because you communicate images through words. So when somebody says brick, the other person is saying straw. And when the person brings straw, say, I said brick. And before you know, a fight will start. And then the group started forming. Those who spoke saw the same thing. And then they separated themselves. And so they could not accomplish that. Because that was against the will of God. Amen. But the same thing works for the will of God. Amen. The same principle works for the will of God. When the people are united and they have one language, there is nothing impossible. Oh, I can't get any witness. I can't get any feeling in this place. I feel like I'm alone here. Amen. There's nothing impossible. There's nothing impossible for the family that sticks together. There's nothing impossible for the church that speaks the same language and are united. There's nothing impossible for the church within a city that speaks the language and is united. There's nothing impossible when we come together and express faith in God. Amen. All right, number 2, the practice of faith together. The practice of faith together. So, meditating on this verse, the Spirit of God began to show me that there are different things that they did, how faith together works. And the first one is faith in one another. Faith in one another. Faith in one another. Raphael had faith in his friends. Zephaniah had faith in Judah, that Judah is going to help. When we break down the roof, if there are consequences, Judah will say, it's Zephaniah. No. We're going to face it together. All right? Zephaniah knew that they won't drop him. Like, they just drop him. Woo! And then the guy's rolling on the floor and then his head is broken again. And Jesus has to heal his head. No. He had faith. They had faith in one another. So faith, one of the first expression of faith together is faith in one another. Everybody say faith in one another. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 7, the Amplified Version, which I like, 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 7, the Amplified Version says, love bears up under anything and everything that comes and is ever ready. Everybody say ever ready. To believe the best of every person. Its hopes are faithless under all circumstances. Do we believe the best of another, of one another, or do we believe the worst? That's a test we all face. We all face. We judge ourselves by our intentions, but we judge other people by their actions. Have you noticed that when people have arguments, they say, but you know, that's not what I intended. But when you want to judge other people, look at what you did. So we judge other people by their actions, but not their intentions. You see, when we understand that, you will discover that some actions might have been taken that are wrong, but the intention is right. You listening? There was this story I heard long ago. I think it was one of those Greek stories or whatever about this man. Yeah. So this man, this man found, he was going and then he found a spring of water, like natural spring, very nice, you know, and he saw it. He says, you know what? I have to get this for my king. Okay? So this guy bottled it and put it up and then he ran. He ran back. So it took him 2 days before he got to the king. So it took 2 days before he got to the king. Then he got to the king and he presented the water. Say, you know what? I found this and I just thought you needed to have it. And the king tasted it and the water was still. And the king was like, how dare you come give me still water? Go kill him. What the king did not know was that this guy had been running for 2 days to get the water to him. Sometimes we respond not knowing people's intention, that their intentions are right. But sometimes we have wrong actions. But what will solve that is when you make up your mind to believe the best in all circumstances. To believe the best means that you even make excuses for those whose intentions are wrong. Remember Jesus Christ, when he was being crucified on the cross, he practiced that. He said, Father, forgive them. For what? So in other words, he gave excuse that even if they intended to kill me, it's because of their level of knowledge. People act based on their level of knowledge. You act based on your level of knowledge. So believe that if they knew better, they would do better. Did you get that? Tell your neighbor, say, if you knew better, you would treat me better. But that's what you don't know. You see, some of the cries of racism and all that, and I tell you, it's there. But a lot of those things is ignorant people. Do you know that there are some people that they don't even know that racism still exists? Because they've never come across it. And they need to be educated to it. Not to be crucified, but to be educated. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it's not everything that you see that the intention is necessarily, right? To destroy. We need to start thinking that way. Can I get a clap or something? You guys have a black preacher here. You have to respond to a black preacher. Or it's going to feel like nothing is happening. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Romans 14:1 and 19, the Message translation says, welcome with open arms fellow believers who don't see things the way you do. And don't jump all over them every time they do or say something you don't agree with. Even when it seems that they are strong on opinions, but weak in faith, in the faith department. Remember, they have their own history to deal with. Treat them gently. So let's all agree to use all our energy in getting along with each other. Help others with encouraging words. Don't drag them down by finding faults. Hallelujah. Help one another with encouraging words. Affirm one another. Hallelujah. Let's affirm. So we should make every effort to believe positive things about one another and the church, and to take time to affirm one another regularly. Even just, you look good today. Because it took some effort. I mean, all these people that are dressed, it took some effort for them to get dressed this way. Amen? I appreciate the effort. Amen. Affirm one another. All right, the second one. Faith for one another. Faith for one another. So one is faith in one another, but faith for one another. So, Zephaniah, Judah, and the other one. And what? Isaiah? Raphael? Okay. They exercised, the people carrying, they exercised faith for what? For what? For Zephaniah. Because Jesus saw their faith, including the one of the guy who allowed himself to be taken through the roof. He saw their collective faith. They exercised faith for one another. So together, faith is also exercising faith for the other person. Amen. Because there are some times when we all need faith, right? Someone say we need extra faith. We need people to stand with us in faith. Paul said in Romans chapter 1 verse 12, the NCV version, he says, I want us to help each other with the faith we have. Your faith will help me, and my faith will help you. Do you get it? Your faith will what? Help me, and my faith will what? Will help you. Sometimes you want to cross something, and it's just like your level of faith at that point is just not crossing it. Get other people to join you. Join with other people. I remember different individuals, including myself, that, you know, some people just moved or just bought houses or whatever. I remember, you know, Peace, when she went to buy a house, and things were not just working out. And then, you know, she called me and I said, write the list. What exactly are the things you want? So write it, and we're going to stand together. When I wanted to get her house, also the same thing. I took it to Pastor Louis, my friend in Zion, and then I talked to Pastor Sam, and I said, this, and that. And then both of them prayed. Remember when Pastor Lou wanted to get his house? He came to meet me too. He said, you know what? We have to put this particular amount down now and this and this and that. Stand with me in faith. Different people, I just need this job. I just need people come. We stand with one another and then we join faith together. And the faith does what? Puts us over. Do you get it? Faith for one another. Faith for one another. James chapter 5 verse 14 to 16. Is anyone among you sick? Now this is being applied to sickness here, but it applies to other forms of affliction or things we go through. So sometimes we have a sick marriage. Sometimes we have a sick, we have this sickness in one area, emotionally and all that. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call. Someone say, let them call. Call somebody. Amen? Call on someone. There's nothing shameful in that. Call. Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So this guy was sick, and then he calls on the elders, and then they stood together and prayed. His sin was removed. His sickness was removed. Whatever is going on in your life right now, you can call on a member of the body. Amen? And you can stand in faith together. And your faith together can push you over. Oh, can I get some better witness in the house? Number C, faith through one another. Faith through one another. Not only do we have faith in one another, not only do we have faith for one another, but we can also have faith through one another. Meaning that just our together, working together, can inspire each other's faith. Amen. We can encourage one another's faith. Have you been with some believers before, and then you left the place? It's like you are walking on, like you're in the sky. You are bold, right? Can you imagine if you were walking with Joshua and Caleb? What will happen to you? But if you are walking with the 10 other spies, some of you are living with 10 spies. It's time to switch to Joshua and Caleb. Some of you are walking with the 10 spies. You know how the 10 spies, when you get to work and they say, this country is terrible. Everything is going to hell in a basket. I wonder when this terrorism is going to hit all of us. The way the race relation is going in this country, we might have to break apart. I'm a black man, and I'm scared that the police is going to come one day and kill me or my children. I'm sorry, but you don't need to live that way, amen. It's time to switch to Joshua and Caleb. And say, yeah, the grasshoppers, the giants are there, and we do look like grasshoppers. But you know what? We are well able. Because we have God. Change it. Did you get that? Change it. So the people you move with can encourage your faith. We can encourage one another's faith to be stronger in faith. Romans 1:12, the NLT says, when we get together, I want to encourage you, in your faith. And I also want to be encouraged, what?
By your faith.
So, mutual faith. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. That is back and forth. You are not responsible for everyone in the body of Christ, but you are responsible to them. We can build up one another's faith through sharing. Choose your friends. Choose the people. Look for people that inspire your faith and spend time with them. Just some time with them can help you advance in the expansion of the kingdom of God on the earth. Make it a habit to do that. Amen? Hallelujah. The last one. Faith with one another. Faith with what? With one another. So not only can we have faith in one another, we can have faith for one another, we can develop faith through one another, but we can also have faith, what? With one another, together. So these guys, that's what Jesus saw. He saw their collective faith. He saw their faith together. This is powerful. Amen? This is powerful. Faith with one another. Standing together to accomplish great things. Hallelujah. I was thinking some days ago, and I was just, meditating on this message, and I like to read about, I love to read about science, I love to read about, history and some things and all that, and I'm just thinking of two examples which I wrote down of just human beings demonstrating faith together and what they were able to accomplish. The first one is what, you know, in the United States. The first one was what, you know, the Manhattan Project. I don't know if you have heard about the Manhattan Project. And then the second one was the Apollo Project. So now the Manhattan Project was in response to the, you know, Hitler had risen up and started conquering Europe. And he had some scientists and he was very close to developing the atomic bomb. And believe me, if Hitler had developed the atomic bomb, the world that we see now, in that, this world now is not going to be there. It would have been a different story. So the United States started scrambling together that they got to get to to develop it. I don't believe in it, but they had to do it. To develop the atomic bomb before this person did it. Guess what it took to do it? The United Kingdom, Canada joined the efforts. It required the contributions of 130,000 people. I'm going to say 130,000 people that were employed, working in 30 sites at a cost of over $2 billion. It was an unprecedented project that requires tens of thousands to work together. And the common goal was we have to beat the Nazis to the development of the atomic bomb and prevent the annihilation of the planet. Can you imagine 130,000 people walking? Now the second one was the Apollo project. That one was spoiled by, you know, Russia had sent a man to the moon. I'm sorry, no, to space. Yuri, I don't know the pronoun, Gagarin, or what's his name? Amen. Had gone to space. And the United States said that, wow, the first man in space is a Russian. No. So when Kennedy came in, he said, this decade, I want the United States to go to the moon. It was competition. I want the United States to go to the moon within this decade. At that time, the technology to go to the moon was not present. The science and the physics was there, but the technology had not caught up. So listen, the Apollo program, it employed over 400,000 people, utilized the support of over 20,000 firms and universities at a cost of $24 billion. It was the most complicated and hazardous journey humanity has ever embarked upon, but it was accomplished in 1969 when Neil Armstrong walked on the moon. Amen. So there was a declaration of a common vision and everybody began to work together. Do you know why the United States has not accomplished anything worthwhile in recent times? Because we have not had leaders that gave us a common goal. Because we are fighting. We're dealing with petty things. Some things that we ought to have outgrown in this age. You are still judging someone by the color of his skin. And I'm talking to black people too. This day and age. After all that we have seen, the world has shown, people are still doing that. The union ought to have gone beyond that. And it's when we go beyond all that, that's when we can accomplish great things. But while that is going on, China has been accomplishing great things. Because they have a forced unity there. You have to be united by force. Or you go to jail. Accomplishing great things. Divisions everywhere. Do you know why the body of Christ, especially the body of Christ in the West, has not accomplished anything? Do you know why we're losing our relevance in society? Because we're all fighting. We're all disunited. We're focused on the wrong things. We have lost the kingdom focus. We are trying to build our own things. Everybody is trying to be individualistic. The spirit of the society has entered the church. The church of Jesus Christ was not an individualistic idea. It was a collective idea. The individualistic idea is a Western idea. And all that believed were together. And they had all things common. We have allowed Satan to deceive us. And so that's why we are losing our influence. Jesus says, I pray that they may be one. And where they are one, the world will know. There has to be unity before the community will be touched. We need churches and leaders that will cast visions, amen, for the problems in our world and in our city. And people that will come together to do it. Not everybody trying to do their own thing. That's what we need. So I want to share this with you guys quickly. You know, some things that God, you know, shared with me that I want you to focus on for the next 4 years. I'll spend more time to develop it later, but I'll just share it with you quickly. So that you can have the, please show them so that they can have the, we have the awesome opportunity to join together with others in our church to believe God for greater things for our communities and families. The previous one, so that they can write it. We have the opportunity, the summary of faith with one another, to join together with others in our church to believe God for greater things for our community and families. We have to dare to do big things. We have to cast big visions that are in line with the kingdom of God. Because God is able to do exceedingly. Ephesians 3:20 message says, God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working with us. He spreads deeply and gently within us. So I have this thing quickly with the acronym of FAITH. The acronym is FAITH. And God says, this is what I want you to focus on now for 2020. By 2020, and I'm going to be sharing more about it, but I'm just introducing it to you. Fill God's house. Everybody say, fill God's house. So God told me that the DNA of this church said, I want you to multiply it in more disciples. In such a way that by the time we do, you know, we do peace campaign, we're going to have city life people in all the corners of Chicago. The corners are not, maybe they are 50 or more, whatever. The corners. More disciples, more people saved, more people brought into the kingdom. And the goal is 2,000 diverse believers. All over this city. By February 20, 2020. Somebody say amen. Amen. Number two. Acquire key properties to assist the poor. To reach out to the next generation. So thank God for this property. But we're not stopping with this one. Amen. We're getting the land surrounding us. We're getting other stuff. Let me tell you some things that, you know, we want to do. You see, what I want to do is I want to use my faith to believe God. And I want us to use our faith to believe God for things that people after us can use. You get it? The next generation can use. And over time, I've seen the problems that we confront in the community. One of them is homelessness. Amen. People constantly come that we don't know how to help them. We don't have the means to help them. So we send them either and all that. They keep coming. Both people that are just came out of prison or people that are going through problems. So one of my faith is, and that's part of what I'm working and I'm calling you to join me, is that I'm going to believe God for a residence facility where we can use to help people temporarily. to help ex-offenders, to help people that are going through temporary issues. I want to believe God for a youth development center. I want to believe God for a business and social enterprise incubation center. I want to believe God, no, I said it, I want to believe God for a place where young people can have clean entertainment. So that they don't have to go Friday nights to a place where they are going to be corrupted. I want to believe God for children that are going to be my children and your children and those who are coming, that they can go to a place that is nice, amen, but that is clean. I'm going to believe in God for a training center for leaders, for the community and for the nation. I'm going to believe God to be able to have resources. You know, there are churches, you know, we do it in a little way. There are churches and ministries happening all around Chicago, but a lot of time they don't have means. So the little means that we've been given, we've used it. We've sent it. But you know what I'm believing God for? I want to believe God for vehicles that we can send to churches to use. I want to believe God for buildings that we can use, that other churches can use, and people that we can send to other ministries to support them. So this is a kingdom dream, and it's going to happen. Amen. I mean, you all know. Amen. Hallelujah. Hi. Improve the excellence, the seating, music, and technology of our current facility, and to pay off its existing mortgage. Now, this thing is so easy. Everybody say excellence. You know, I'm going to take some time. Malachi 1, let me just read this very quickly. Malachi 1, chapter 6, let me read something to you. Everybody say, God deserves the best. I hope this is going to inspire you. Malachi 1 verse 6. God deserves the best. You see, sometimes we put more into things that are not for God than we put to the things for God. I believe God deserves the best. I believe God deserves what? God deserves excellence. Music excellence. Everything excellent. Amen. A son honors his father and a servant his master. If I am the father, where's my honor? If I'm a master, where's my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? Quickly roll. Verse 7. You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. Verse 9. When you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it to your governor. Will he be pleased with you? Will he accept you favorably? In other words, if you can't offer it to the governor, don't offer it to me. But now, entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hand, he will accept you favorably. The principle there is this. God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He deserves the best. He deserves the best of our talent. He deserves the best equipment, the best music. The buildings of the church should be an example to the world, because we serve a God who is greater than all gods. So I want to make his name famous. Amen. That's my desire. I want people to come into the things that we're going to do and they will say, God is great. Are you getting what I'm saying? See, train at least 25% of those people, of those 2,000 people, to be global leaders and city leaders in the several spheres of influence, to plant new churches, to start and develop initiative and businesses through a robust training system, school, and through an incubation process. So make disciples of all nations. So these things I've committed to you, commit to faith where we'll become able. So I want to see leaders raised up for this city and for the nations. Are you getting what I'm saying? In the different spheres that will display the excellence of God. H, helping hands. Hire more staff. Recruit more dream team members. Training at least 20% of membership for key positions in outreach, administration, college ministry, children, youth, ministry, music, missions, training, fellowship, and technology, etc. So for the next 4 years, that's a summary of our focus. That's a fresh assignment. That is what we're going to do. Amen. If you are, right now it looks like the city is Zephaniah. Amen. Are you listening to me? And we are the what? The Zaki, what's with Zeph? We are Judah, Raphael, and what? And Zephaniah. So if you are going to join me in carrying this city on the stretcher right now and take it to Jesus for transformation, I want you to jump up with faith. If you are ready to carry Chicago, break down the roof, break down the division. Are you listening to me? Break down the impossibilities and bring it to Jesus so that he can rise up and walk and fulfill his vision. If you are together with me, I want you to give God some praise. Let him see our faith. Jesus saw their faith and he said, son, your sins are forgiven you. And the Pharisees and others will talk. The Pharisees will talk. Amen. And don't be one today. Amen. The teachers of the law will talk. But Jesus sees faith. Amen. And then later he says, stand up, take up your bed and walk. I declare that the city of Chicago shall fulfill its redemptive purpose. I declare that the body of Christ in Chicago shall fulfill its purpose. I declare that this church will fulfill its purpose. You will fulfill your purpose. Your family will fulfill its purpose. The dry bones will live again. Violence will be a thing of the past. Division will be a thing of the past. And Jesus will once again rule in this city as Lord. Come on, let's give God some praise and excitement.